Fox. How about that?
Oh, good.
We're getting going. Tell us.
All right. Well, thanks for coming out tonight, guys. So I'm Lisa Fox. I'm the new manager. I was over in Cold Bay for the last 2 summers working for Matt. Matt took off this spring, and so I'm taking over for him, and I'm looking forward to the season. Since it's a nice small group, I was wondering if everybody in the room might mind introducing themselves so that I know who you are. I recognize a few faces from the meetings, but I'm new, so getting to know you guys is probably the first thing I want to do. So, we'll start with staff introductions. That's me. This is Jeff Wadley over here, my supervisor. And there's Charlie Russell over here. I don't know if you want to share your news now or...
I'll be taking off here in a week or two. I'm headed to Prince William Sound. I just got promoted to the area management biologist for purse seine fisheries over there. So I enjoyed my time with you last summer, but I'll be headed out of here in about a week and a half. So. I wish.
No. So unfortunately, that means they just implemented a complete hiring freeze for us, and so we have. She's going to be short 2 assistants. So until that hiring freeze is lifted, hopefully the legislature will get their stuff in gear and get something passed by July 1st. But if not, then I'll be coming out and helping her for the next however long it takes. So.
And then I guess continuing around, Mark Patterson, be flying all the surveys for us.
I'm the new Steve.
You're not. You're the new old Steve. And then I guess we keep on going this way.
Stanley.
Here's Stanley. Hi.
Chuck
Gunderson. Hi, nice to meet you.
Alden. Okay. Alden. Ricky Slick.
Hi.
John. Okay. You want to hear a roll call from the communities?
Yeah, can I get everybody's names that's out there on the phone, too? Maybe start with King Cove.
Hello. Yeah, Charles Mack. And we got Kenneth Mack here and Glenn Duffy.
Hi. How about Falk Bass on there, too?
Yes. Chris Dumrick, and I'm here with Rick Weber.
Okay. And who else is out there?
KSDP is online. So.
KSDP. Okay. Well, so tonight we're just going to go over pretty much everything that's in the harvest strategy packet here, our preseason outlook for we do a pink forecast, and then Chignik does a sockeye early and late forecast. So we're just going to go over that real quick. Pink salmon's looking really good for an even year, finally. The pink forecast is based on the wintertime conditions from 2 years previous. Oh, so I guess for the Chignik forecast, it's supposed to be pretty decent, above average for the early run. So, and they're already starting to see fish at the weir, showing up pretty early. So we've got a pretty good chance for some good fishing from the early run in Chignik. And then for, let's see, the pink forecast. Okay, go find that real quick. All right, I can't find the pink forecast right now, but it's pretty good. We're going to go over, let's see, we've got a couple of new things from the last Board of Fisheries meeting. The main thing is there's going to be a new Dolgoy Island area sockeye salmon cap that's going to be in effect during the Chignik allocation period from June 1st to July 25th. So we'll be monitoring the harvest that comes out of that area, and as soon as 191,000 sockeye are harvested, we'll have to shut down some of the statistical areas around that area. And in the harvest strategy, we have maps associated with that if anybody has any questions on that. A couple of latecomers walking in right now. Welcome. Would you mind introducing yourself for the teleconference here?
Hello, Ben Mobeck.
Ben Mobeck's in the house.
Yeah.
Here?
PJ Brown.
PJ Brown, and then.
Kylie Thompson.
What's that? Kylie Thompson. Okay. Let's see, where were we?
Board of Fish changes there.
Oh, yeah, Board of Fish changes. So, yeah, there's a set of statistical areas that are around the Dolgoy Island area that we're going to be monitoring. Those of you who were at the Board of Fisheries meeting, you guys were instrumental in making this change. So once those areas reach a certain threshold, 191,000 sockeye, then we'll be shutting down a smaller portion in that area. And that'll go on until the 26th of July, except for a smaller portion on July 17th to open back up. So we'll be monitoring that. One of the other changes that was made was there's no minimum mesh size in post-June fishery for gill nets anymore. That got repealed this last meeting. And that's pretty much all the changes. Everything else should be business as usual. So we've got management strategies in back. We've got calendars for the June and July fisheries. Hi.
Hi.
And we've got lots of maps for everybody. We also have a couple of test fisheries coming up this year. Oh, go ahead.
When you were a minute ago, you talked about gill net mesh size. Was that drift only or drift and net?
It's for drift. Yeah, and it was kind of a carryover that there was a minimum mesh size for all the fisheries in the South Peninsula when there was chum issues. Chum bycatch issues, and that's all been repealed. And the post-June fishery still had a minimum mesh size in there. And if anybody wanted a drift in the post-June fishery, they had to change their gear over. And so now that's repealed, and they can just keep their June fishery gear on and go fishing. Yeah, so we're going to do that. Was that all the board changes?
Yeah, thank you. They consolidated the pink salmon goals.
Yeah, the escapement goal for pink salmon used to be different from even and odd years, but they consolidated those. So now our pink salmon escapement goal is 1.75 to 4 million pinks for this year.
Was that always the bottom end for even years?
Spread.
Or did the bottom end go up?
I don't think it was the same bottom. Or
same old routine changed, I think.
I don't have the old goals on here, I don't think. But I think they were both really close to that anyway, and the even years have been so far from those goals since 2008 that they didn't really make any sense anyway. So now we're just shooting for 1.75 to 4 for all years. Yeah. Yeah, so we're also looking at doing some test fisheries. As you guys know, the state's budget is not doing great. So we're going to be adding a Dutch Harbor food and bait herring fishery for generating some revenue. We have a request for bids out right now. We're hoping to generate about $100,000 with that fishery. We have four lots of 500 tons per lot. We're not expecting all of those lots to be bid on, but we're hoping that they will be.
I'm a stainer, and we bid. I haven't seen anything for the
herring fishery?
Yeah, I thought it was the test fishery.
Yeah, it was sent out as a news release. You know, on the
state website. I never reposted. I'll repost it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and we can give you a copy if you come by the office, too. Yeah, they should be posted on the state website, and it's the first news release for Dutch Harbor this year. So the bids are due back by the 1st of July, but we're willing to work on the timing of the fishery as long as the common property fishery is guaranteed to the people that are interested in that. The revenue-generating fishery can go before or after, but probably not in parallel. Up to 500 tons per lot, and we can do four lots. And the lowest bid will win. I know it's kind of strange, but yeah.
The cost recovery, at least you've done it. Oh, yeah, before after the cost recovery was done, right?
They have done it in Koyak, yeah. Or Togiak, I'm sorry.
Okay, and then the Board of Fish tells us that for us to go fishing, we have to form a co-op.
In Dutch?
So you're going to go out there and catch 2,000 tons, and we're only allowed X amount of tons. You don't catch a fish in Togiak because there's a bunch of always left over, but we're still on this restriction. So you guys want to go out there and make $100,000, where the fishermen and the co-ops make about $20,000. So I don't understand where you guys come from to make this kind of money. You don't have the money, but you want the fishermen go out there.
Well, I think the decision to try to do the Dutch Harbor test fishery was based on the fact that the gillnet quota isn't taken. And I understand that what you're saying as well, and that we took, but we either take the Dutch Harbor herring from the quota that's out of Togiak, or we have to go in and do test research on the salmon around South Penn or North Penn, Kodiak, and Chicknick. The $100,000 is to make up for a cut that the governor gave us. They took $100,000 from us. We're trying to get $100,000 back so we can run a fishery. So we figured this would probably be the least amount of impact on the fishermen is trying to do the Dutch Harbor food and bait fishery. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to the board and tell them that maybe you should up your GHL down in Dutch Harbor, but right now we have some GHL available that we can do the quote. There's some.
Yeah. Yeah. You
well,
the herring fishers yeah. pay for the salmon fishing.
And
yes.
My
and we also.
What about the existing Dutch Harbor bait fishery?
Yeah.
What if 2,000 extra tons of herring is due to the market for the existing Dutch Harbor?
That's one of the reasons that test fishery is going to work this year is that there's a high demand for bait, more than there has been in a long time past. We're not expecting all these fish to be harvested. We're not expecting all these bids to be bid on. We just want to take advantage of the fact that the bait fishery has collapsed on the national market, and we want to get some local bait. We want to make some money off of it, and we are going to be sharing this money between the Dillingham and Kodiak and AYK offices. We kind of came up with this between the whole state as far as the herring program goes, and we need to cover some costs.
AYK is going to get money to help do surveys in their area for herring. So
you guys are taking care of the market.
We're not taking care of the market. We know that the market has not been. We know that the bait that has usually been available is not available.
Well, my question is, that's why we're hearing doesn't work for cod, so that's kind of fun. But my question is, you have a test fishery, but I have to apply the market as well to bid on it. Because I don't know anybody that's going to want 2,000 tons of herring.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's you're right.
Something the state should.
Oh, we did.
No, we did.
Yeah.
No, we did.
We've
been calling all the processors,
yeah.
And we've been asking who is interested, and we're trying to get the processors on board. And it sounds like the main issue is storage out there. So, we're trying to figure it out, and it's a new fishery, and we're not sure how it's going to work, but we're trying to generate interest in this, and we're trying to get the processors on board, and we're trying to get some money.
I would love to get up. I just don't know where we get a market for 500
right.
of the herring.
Well, up to 500 tons. You might put in a bid for 200 tons, and that might be the lowest bid, and we might take that one.
I'm going to go. It's on 200 times.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I can only imagine what they're going to pay the Department of Fish and Game for a herring. You know what I mean? You have to bid for five.
Well, they're going to pay us. The bid comes to us. You give us a check. You make the bid. You win the. You pay us a check for $50,000.
Yeah,
that's what the bid is.
So anything beyond $50,000.
You're right. You would have to make sure that it's worth your time and money. So, and it may not be. It may not work at all. I don't know.
It's really a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's wasted herring. I mean, I've been out there. It's wasted herring. It's just market. You know, the market is. Out there.
I think the market's there. I think the limiting factor now is storage for a freezing capacity out there, freezer capacity.
But just so you know, that they'll be able to work, whoever bids on these, they don't have to be harvested during that window. Not knowing what the herring are doing out there in, like, the fall, but the herring fishery is open until February 28th.
Yeah.
So, as long as you're willing to
where the herring are,
right?
Yeah. I don't know where they're at. Later in the year, but there is opportunity there if someone wants to do a fishery later on in the year, as long as they're willing to work with the department. So.
Yeah, it's new. It's strange. We're trying to make something work. We have to come up with $100,000 to fund the fishery.
Yeah, that's not even an option. If we don't come up with $100,000, we won't have the fishery. Because we don't have the money to pay.
For what?
We have to come up with $100,000 within our salmon management program to be able to pay
for the summer.
For the summer, exactly.
Yeah.
Because that money's gone. It was already cut out. And they gave us the authority to make $100,000 in test fish money. So that's where we're at. We don't like it.
I'm assuming that cost recovery fishery is on. Sorry, I'm looking for words. Intercept fisheries aren't probably real popular.
Well, the herring fishery is a...
No, but I'm saying
it
would seem to make more sense to use salmon, but you really don't want to do a cost recovery fishery on an intercept fishery.
But
it's a possibility. That is a possibility.
That may come to be. I mean, that may be, especially in the June fishery, when the periods are closed, we could have a test fishery during the closed period.
Is there any possibility, if your boats start getting tight later in the season, we can do additional, pink test fishery or cost recovery fishery? It's not a test fishery, it's a cost recovery fishery.
Yeah.
That's
definitely an option.
Yep.
I mean, we want to keep fishing, and I know guys are willing to work to keep fishing.
And the hard thing is, if the fishery is open, who's going to want to stop fishing to go to a cost recovery fishery? So we're going to do a cost recovery fishery when the fishery is closed.
Yeah.
Which is
With our management plan in July, you can if things are as strong as we think
they're going to be stronger than they have been in even years.
There'll be opportunities to pick up on pinks before we have to get into the unknown of August, where you don't know what days you're fishing, what days you're not.
And we're looking at all of that.
Yeah.
And, we're also up against this, if the legislature doesn't cut a budget pretty soon, we might be packing up shop and going home and not managing any fishery. That's also on the table right now.
Yeah.
So we pull out. The June fishery is business as usual, but we can't do the post-June fishery unless we do an immature test fishery. That's in regulation.
What if the volunteers to do the testing? You'd have to ask the governor. I'm not sure how that would work.
To do the test
fishery?
To fill the gap in our budget. But I think they're looking at the overall state budget right now, and Fish and Game is just a small piece of it.
No, but I mean, is there any ability for us to address our own?
No.
Every salmon area, the way things are looking, should be responsible for budgeting, helping to fund, the department. That's the way I see it. Of course, it's the state's in that much trouble.
I know that's happening in the Bay a little bit, right?
They're running towers and stuff, funding towers.
Yeah, with Bristol Bay just gave them $250,000 to that.
Yeah, if the state decides to shut down, those employees will go home.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole state shuts down. Yeah.
Yeah, but there, I guess last year in this situation, there was an extension given to Fish and Game.
It might have been more than just Fish and Game, but there was, we were allowed to work even past July 1st, so that if there was a complete shutdown, we were going to be able to pull all the camps, because it's going to take us 2 weeks to get everybody pulled, everybody back to Kodiak or wherever they're going. And so if that was the case, then we would actually start pulling out June 15th. And so, and basically all the fisheries would end June 15th that have escapement-based management. So June fishery, probably not going to be affected, but like Kodiak or Southeast District Mainland or any of those places, those are, or North Penn, they're all going to be affected, Chicnick.
I mean, would the July fishery be affected?
But yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's scheduled, but it's predicated by the immature test fishery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is that Gillnet?
That's for Saners, yeah. I don't know. Those are questions I don't have a real good answer for. I suspect...
I mean, somebody's got to be writing numbers down, even if...
Exactly.
...it's not scheduled time, so I guess it
well,
would.
Well, and somebody's got to be flying a plane, and somebody's got to be counting fish, and somebody's got to be tallying the harvest that's coming in, because this resource needs to be managed.
We manage
this stuff for 4,000 years.
write your
legislature. Yeah. I think subsistence fishing would probably be going forward. But.
Yeah, just get a hold of your representative and tell them to get something done. So that's all you can do at this point. So.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season for sure.
Is this the only area that's being affected by the cuts?
No. No, it's statewide.
The entire state of Alaska?
And, you know, for places where people live in the town that they're at, they just go home. But for us, we just flew out here a week and a half ago, and we would have to close up all our offices and our buildings, and we'd all fly back to Kodiak, and that'd be 2 weeks there, and then take us another week to get back out here and get back up and running, so we'd be without a fishery for a month.
You know, general funds doesn't matter where the money comes from. It all goes in one pot, and the legislature doles it out. So,
and that's one of the nice things about the test fishery,
yep.
or the cost recovery fishery, is that that money would come directly to our region. And also, unlike a standard budget that rolls over, that can't roll over from one fiscal year to the next, but to spend it all out at the end of the year, the test fishery money can be banked and used when you need it. So we can generate our money and have that as a rainy day fund if we need to rebuild a building or if a truck breaks or if we have to do asbestos removal or any of the things that we've been having to do that cost a lot of money.
We can be fiscally conservative without being punished, basically, or without being docked. Because if we're fiscally conservative with our GF funds, that goes away. That amount that we save just goes away. But with this, we can roll it over for the next year. So I think it's actually... I think in the long run, it'll be a good thing as long as we can control this test fishery money and not go anywhere else. It stays within the region. So.
They might actually bypass
I hope so. I mean, I hope they're going to have to, like she said, they're going to have to give us some kind of extension in July. So if something does happen July 1st, we'll be able to pull out by July, or on July 1st, and we'll have 2 weeks to do it. But if they don't do that, we got to start pulling out in 2 weeks in June. June 15th, we got to start pulling out everything out. So I would suggest you call your legislature and at least give us that breathing room.
And they still sent us layoff letters last year.
Yeah, we'll get layoff letters. They're going to send those out
soon. We'll get them next week.
Yeah, next week. Or
why don't we get her?
Well, I mean, if you do it on the first, that's a knee day. So you won't actually. If you do it on the first, then we could pass and go fishing.
The hard part with the immature test fisheries, if there are immatures present, we can't have the fishery continue. You know, if there's no immatures around, then it's fine to keep fishing. But if there are immatures present, we keep making sets to get more money, then we risk shutting down that same fishery if we catch a bunch of.
And you still need someone on payroll to manage just to get harvest reports and news releases.
Yeah. And on that one, you still need somebody on the boat.
Yeah. I guess I'm just thinking, like, if it does shut down first, you got to leave. Well,
just hoping we can cut a news release.
Come back on the 24th. Well, you come back on the 24th, and then we have to go through a test fishery again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Even though the next day we go on local management, and it makes no sense, but that's what happens.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. None of this makes sense. So.
No, I know. All things.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be an interesting season for sure. And it was like this last year where we had the threat of being sent home, and it all worked out in that way. So we have, in addition to getting pink slips, we also have a budget gap that we're working with. So we'll be saving a little bit of money because there'll be a couple of vacancies in Sandpoint and Cold Bay for part of the season, but not enough to cover everything. Yeah. Sorry to be so grim starting off.
After you started off pretty good, you told us we had some pretty big predictions.
Yeah.
Now you told us we can't fish them.
Hey, that's not on me. That's not on me.
Did we do pink yet? Did you think that
the forecast for pink?
It's going to be big.
I heard it's going to be good.
It's going to be really good.
It's 15 million
there.
Isn't that what you get?
Yo, what's the confidence level?
The confidence level, so the winter conditions for the pinks that are going to be caught this year were so warm that I had to use the next closest warm winter because they were so warm they were kind of off the charts for what we usually use for predictions. So at some point you would think warm water becomes too warm. That's the only concern. If it's just warm water is good for pinks, yay, let's go, then that means there's going to be a lot of pinks coming back. But if we've hit some sort of point where it's too warm for pink, then we start to get a little concerned.
What's the correlation between warm and cold? Have the warmer winters in the past had better returns?
Yeah, last
so
year's.
If warm was good, then it might be even greater than ever.
It could be, yeah. And last year's pink return was off the charts, and that was based on a really, really warm winter in 2013. So everything's pointing to that. You know, then they get to the ocean and they have to go find some food. So there's that part of it, too, that's a little bit more of a black box. But in the river, they had some pretty good rearing conditions. There's a pretty good chance there's going to be a lot of things coming back this year.
The ones that are going out now with bigger than normal
system here. The little guys?
Yeah, they're actually a lot bigger than the ones that
are going
out here. Hopefully that's what happened last year, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there were fish spawning on top of each other last year with all those adult returns, so good to hear there's a bunch that made it back out.
Yeah. Aaron went to do a good job there, let me hear.
That is yours, Bernard.
Oh, I'm sure you'd be glad to hear that. Give him a call.
I'll let him know you said that.
Yeah. Nobody's really mad at him anymore.
Oh, he's got different people mad at him now. Yeah.
It's good.
While you're talking about things, may I ask a question? You were speaking about Aaron. We did pay for what we asked. You know, we sat on the beach for 3-4 years without Bishop and Aaron.
Yep.
Can you imagine, do we, would you manage where at least we'd have a, like a test fish we were, we could go out for one day? Or like, you wouldn't do that. Managed by a line on a computer, you know, with the bobber ball or, you know, how you keep on going up. But you can bring up Arnie. I mean, he's been in the past for so many years.
It wouldn't be a preseason meeting without talking about Arnie.
But, he's always gave us a little time, you know, and that gives you information. It helps us a lot. You're not going to do any damage if you set up with both of as long as they're staying out of the base. Out there instead of waiting until the fish get in the mouth of the creek or stream or something. Processes go on and become taller and everything, so we can have some kind of a master plan where we can fish and let you know what's gone on and be able to harvest some.
I see what you're saying, and I know where Aaron was coming from too. Hopefully by the end of July or somewhere in July, we'll know what the pinks are doing. We'll know what the strength of that is. But if there's not fish in the river, that's where the escapement happens. Like, you have to have those fish in the river on the spawning grounds, or they don't count for the future, right? So if they're out front and they're schooling there and they're hanging out getting colored up, they're not in the river spawning. So they don't count towards escapement.
But, I mean, if they're inside the terminal area or inside the markers, like a few years ago, we didn't fish on the mainland because the fish wouldn't go in the streams. Don't know why.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Apparently the water was too warm, because that's the parent year that these fish are coming back from.
2015? Or 2014?
14, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. That 2 years ago. 2014, the Southeast District, and we did a, the St. Andrews Association, we did an aerial survey after the season closed.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I flew, and there was a lot of fish, and there wasn't, some of the streams were really full, and some weren't, but they all had a lot of fish in the terminal, you know, inside the markers.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, you're wasting the fish. We're sitting, waiting. We can be fishing, you know what I mean?
We can't
decide when the fish go in the stream. Once they're inside the markers, I think, you know, we need to be a little bit more leeway. That was the problem with Aaron.
Matt had a great
fish. And he did,
year.
Yeah. We can talk about.
Well, but he was also used here in 2014.
Yeah,
he was
here
conservative
for
that.
No, it wasn't 14. It was
13.
13.
Yeah, you know, the water was low from Chicknick all the way down.
But I mean, there's no point in wasting fish that aren't.
That's true.
You are getting some escapement. You have to make the decision. You know, there was a lot of the Chicknick things kind of slowly settling down. You know. I think he was getting a lot of pressure to keep the fishery close. Yeah. It was just the Southeast District.
Yeah, it's hard to say exactly. I mean, so on a year when there's a ton of fish out there, it's easy. And when there's in the year that there's no fish out there, it's easy. But it's those marginal years where it comes into play.
13 wasn't a marginal year, though.
Yeah,
that
but I mean.
You wasted an entire area.
Those fish went in there and they created that record run in 2015. I mean, that's
not only fish every other year, just because we want to have big escapements. I mean,
there are like much.
I don't know. It was
waste,
there was so much fish wasted in the Southeast District mainland. It was just sad. And last year, Southeast District mainland wasn't that good for minks. They might have got escapement, but there wasn't a whole lot of surplus. In the Southeast District mainland for minks.
So the spawn from 2013 weren't as successful in the Southeastern District mainland as they were in other areas?
I don't know what the spawn, how you guys based it on.
Escapement. In river.
I'm basing it on, I was down there fishing, and there was nowhere near as many pinks available to catch. They're in the markers. And there just wasn't as much as there was in Pavlov or even in the islands. Places we fished in 2013.
Yeah.
You know, the places we didn't get to fish in 2013, there just wasn't this staggering volume like there was everywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, and those are all big pink salmon streams. You know,
mean, environmental conditions create good spawning habitats when the fish are going in, when they're laying their eggs, and then they go back in the wintertime, and they help them get out of the egg, and it's all. So I guess short answer is I'll probably be conservative as to what goes in the river, because there's going to be all that environmental variability that's going to go in, and I have to conserve the run for the future. So if there's not a lot of fish in the river spawning for some reason or another because there's low water or it's hot, I'm going to wait till they're in there. I mean, that's my first job. And that's for everybody's benefit.
Are you going to be flying around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Wadley will be helping me too. Yeah, I flew surveys for the last two summers with Matt and on my own after Matt had trained me, but I was out here doing, I was in the genetics group for a while, and so I was able to fly out here with a helicopter, do a survey, land, make a set, count the fish out. So I've kind of ground truth all of my counting methods, and I've got a pretty good handle on it.
I can vouch for her.
You were herring spotter, right?
I was. Now I spot salmon.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. I mean, why do you need you in the airplane if he knows how to spot fish?
It's safety. Safety.
Flying the surveys on their cricks, you know, I'm wrung out by the end of the day just keeping everybody safe. So flying herring, yeah, I can spot and fly herring all day long. But flying these cricks is that at all. We're low level, 200 feet, climbing up a canyon, winds coming down the hill. You know, there's a lot going on, and it can be a little sketchy. So one guy flying and spotting fish,
yeah, we don't allow it. I don't allow that. I know other pilots have requested that they do that as a pilot, and I said, no way in hell.
And then you're off with joystick.
They got to be some tough drones, man.
Yeah.
What's that?
Bad remark.
Well, and I flew a tackle in my first season, and yeah, and I was out here for four summers before I went and I worked in the genetics lab, and then I come back again because I can't seem to stay away from the Alaska Peninsula. I like it out here. But I've looked at a lot of the streams in a lot of different ways, and I'm pretty comfortable looking at fish. And hopefully we get a couple more people on that are the same way. Because it's a big area, and that's a lot of little circles.
I don't know if you have
I don't have that in front of me.
Well, I counted a million at one point in that stream, so... pretty high, so. Well, off the beach and up in there, so it was pretty high. So settlements had more, and Little Cold Bay was, I couldn't, Little Cold Bay was hard to count.
Yeah.
Oh. Every stream, even little streams, there's fish off streams that shouldn't have any fish off it. They're just trying to find fresh water toward the end of the season. So,
yeah, there were fish in streams that we hadn't seen fish in before.
Yeah, we decided on the beach here in the day.
Yeah.
How do all these fish? I mean, I was up in September looking around, and the streams were just completely full. How do these later fish affect the
group? The later fish.
Fish that are coming in for the end of August, September, how do they affect the ones that are spawning? That spawned in late July. I know they are. You mean you didn't see the spawn?
Yeah, I mean, they spawn on top of each other. But then there were also fish packed in there so tight at the end of the year that there wasn't enough oxygen for the adults to be successful in spawning. Yeah, I know, it sunk from the plane. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's some fish that are in the early part that get dug up, and I think there's some fish that are in the late part that get, you know, asphyxiated, can't breathe, and wash out, and hopefully it all kind of comes out to just maximum capacity.
That doesn't really affect them on the time.
I don't think so. I mean, I think more things more like environmental variables, like really, really warm and low water, no spawning habitat at all in early in the season, or high floods late in the season, or those are more catastrophic to parts of the run. Yeah. But we'll be getting up there, and I guess I'll be getting up there and looking pretty soon. Seeing if there's any of the sockeye systems that are going to be early, like some of the other systems we're seeing that have weirs on them that are coming in early. They're fish tight. And they've got counts now. They've got a couple thousand fish. Yeah. That's good. It's early.
Yeah.
Well, it's salmon. So, like, is it early and big, or is it early and small, or is it early and normal? The timing is early, but we don't know the magnitude until we start seeing more fish come in.
I don't know when she's going to start. She'll probably start when she gets up closer to 20,000 through the weir. There's a few, but it's nothing. No big buildup yet. She'd probably start. I mean, if there was any kind of buildup, she would start a test fishery a lot sooner. But
I heard he's leaving tomorrow.
No, they're averaging 4.2. I think they went up the second opener. They went to 4.4, but they're still hovering around 4.2 on this third opener.
About like 6 pounds last year.
No, last year was 4.4. Their average is they should be averaging 6 pounds. So.
They do any of that kind of work
they take it? To get the average weights.
Well, I mean, are the fish that are going through the weir already, are they pretty small or?
She doesn't know yet. They haven't done a sample. Just from anecdotal, I've heard that they're not big, but they're not real small either. So, but hopefully by next week we'll probably have a sample and have a better idea what the size is. Yeah, they'll do that. When is that? July, right?
Yeah, during the transition.
Yeah,
they're just trying to figure out where the early run drops off and the late run picks up. And last year that was really late, and so they started at on a standard time, and then they had to eventually stop, even though the transition wasn't complete because it's expensive. But I think it's all, last week of June, first couple weeks of July.
Yeah.
That's the worry with Chicnik right now, is just even though they're getting fish, is that it could be, last year it was long and protracted early run, and then it was 2 or 3 weeks behind before it finally spiked. And the transition period was, what was it, the last week of July, August?
It was 3 weeks late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they started out last
year. Yeah, it felt a little less.
But it's number one. Yeah.
Last year felt, the early part of last year felt a lot like 2014 when the run didn't come in. So, but sure did come in July.
Yeah.
I went through there almost 2 weeks ago, and I saw several jumpers, and one of them was right in front of me. It was a big fish.
Nice.
That's fine. Yeah, and I guess along that line, so I'm going to be limited on how much I can do this year. I'm going to try to keep up with what the regular schedule is on everything, basically, and I'm going to try to ask for help from other groups. But anything you guys are seeing out there, anecdotal, anything you're seeing with fish, if you can call me or if you come in and let me know what you're seeing, I'd really appreciate hearing what you guys are seeing, too.
You'll listen?
I should say that.
Well, they're all doing things. They used to come in and tell guys all that.
How many swear words are in there?
I know that there was fish already jumping on the outside. You already had to know that, right?
heard that there were some chums caught, that somebody caught a couple hundred fish.
No, there's 50 chums that are traveling. They're traveling north and south in the Holland.
Okay.
They didn't know.
Yeah.
They won't read it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, go make a set and bring one to me. I'll identify him. Make a set and bring one to me.
Do you think that I see that these tops are like twice the size of normal shoes?
Really?
Yeah. Usually the pinks are about this big. They were almost full of pinks or anything.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Huh. Finding some food somewhere. Huh?
Yeah, hopefully that means food for the survival. But I couldn't believe it. I was kind of in my five scenes. They were like, usually they don't even gill, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, well, if you guys have any more questions or if you need anything, I'm going to be here, I'll be in the Sandpoint office until somebody tells me to go home. Hopefully that's not too soon.
If you replace people later on, there's short two people, you've got to replace first.
Right now, since I vacated the Cold Bay position, right now we've already got approval. Since we're already in a hiring freeze, I already have approval to hire the Cold Bay position. That's posted right now. I can get people, I can interview people, I can select a person, but I cannot offer the job to somebody until I have been given the okay from basically till a budget gets cut. You know what? That's not true. That's not true. Yeah, I love living in Cold Bay with my family. And I'm hoping that my family is going to like Sandpoint just as much.
Yeah.
Not so just live fishing, I guess. So.
You have a brand new house.
Got a brand new house, a fairly new office. Yeah. In Cold Bay, I had a brand new office and a brand new truck.
They kept the old office. That's your office still?
Yeah, that's the new office here. Yeah.
That's just housing that they just.
Mm-hmm, the duplex, yeah. We're almost moved in there. We're just waiting on furniture.
You want your new truck to carry? I'll be coming back here shortly.
I'm actually doing that. Yeah, my husband and daughter will be coming out here pretty soon, so I need room for them to travel around with me. Yeah.
Anyway, I'll always send the money on. Don't.
Paul Stark and Cove, any questions for you guys?
Nope, all good here.
Good over. When did Orzinski wear get put in?
Middle of June. As long as we can hire them.
Yeah. The crew's supposed to arrive on the 14th, and the weir was supposed to be in by the 20th. They'll probably fly in, but they'll probably get their layoff letters before they even get on the plane.
Yeah, and the crew going out to Orzinski is the same one that's been out there for...
It'll be their fourth season.
Yeah, ones that got married on the weir last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they might get layoff letters. Why would they get layoff letters before the weir?
Because they're mailing them out the first week of June.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll fly in, but they won't get sent out until budgets.
Yeah. Don't mind.
I'll have to find them a ticket.
It's really not that much, is it? I mean,
the budget for them?
Yeah.
No, it's not that much.
Other than hollering at you, I just wanted to be on the radio.
Welcome, Taylor. You're now on the radio.
So other than hollering at some legislators who don't listen to us anyway, is there anything else? I mean, it's a disaster.
think requesting that extension is important, and I think for me personally, trying to get the ability to hire assistants so that we can do a full job. And I don't know who to ask for that. I think it's a pretty strict thing, and I think it's related to the union, so it's kind of a mess. But, I think getting that extension for our budget would be really helpful. And then just being patient with us while we try to figure it out.
Is there a bug ranger? Get a couple of cakes. Pass the hat around.
Down the shed.
We're hoping these test fisheries are kind of that equivalent, but if you guys think of anything like that, not a kegger, but, you know, ways to make the test fishery the most successful way we can, ideas for cold storage for herring, any of that kind of stuff, then we're all yours. We're trying to figure it out.
I think Jeff would take donations, right?
We're looking for about $100,000.
Yeah.
It has to be some pretty expensive raffle tickets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you came for right at the end. You have any questions?
Sounds like you covered it. I've been listening to the radio a little bit.
Oh, great. Okay, anybody else have any other questions? Or if you do later on, you know where I am. Yeah, thanks for coming out.
Thank you.
If there is no money, if the government did shut down, is it possible that
I'll be exploring the borough.
The fishermen have to tax themselves to keep fisheries on.
We'll have to talk to the state people, but we certainly have to explore that.
Yeah, this is way above our heads, that aspect of it.
Yeah.
We wouldn't know.
And certainly contacting your legislator.